and welcome to our podcast entitled Bringing Together Data Integration and SOA. My name is Al Perlman, and I'm your moderator. With the growth of web services, many organizations are finding that the ad hoc IT solutions they've developed over the years must now be integrated in ways that they've never dreamed possible. In fact, just about every aspect of the business, every application, every piece of data, needs to be made accessible and available and manageable to the people in the organization who need to act on them. The shift, which links the business operations ever more tightly with IT and the Internet, is tremendously exciting for everyone in the business, but it's not so simple, is it? IT departments are now in a position where they have to connect and integrate technology that wasn't necessarily designed from scratch to be connected and integrated. Organizations are constantly seeking innovative data integration tools and new approaches such as service-oriented architecture to help them overcome these challenges and present a seamless IT approach to both their customers as well as their own employees. One of the leading companies in solving data integration problems and helping IT move successfully to SOA environments is DataDirect Technologies. We are fortunate today to be joined by Dr. Carlo Innocente, who many of you know as Manolo, who is the Senior Program Manager for XML Technologies at DataDirect. Manolo, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Al.
So our topic today is bringing together data integration and SOA, and you've been in this industry for quite a while. What, in your view, are some of the key trends that are taking place in both business and IT that are making data integration and SOA so important today?
Well, you mentioned it yourself in your introduction. Most of the existing IT solutions have been built in the past years through hardwired direct calls to system to system. They've been tied to a specific hardware choice. They've been tied to a specific software platform. And that is proving inadequate as the IT organizations are growing, as the requirements for accessing such solutions are growing, and so on and so forth. SOA is all about services. You know, in many cases, people think about SOA as web services even. But in general, it's the services concept is key in any SOA vision. And services, by their definition, are loosely coupled. So the complete opposite of the hardwired approach, the direct calls approach that old-fashioned IT solutions have been adopting in the past. And by definition, services are platform and language agnostic. So if I'm running a Java application on a Linux system, I can access a service which is running on my Windows box in a .NET framework without any problem. That's the value that services bring to the table. And you know, in general, also the ability to reuse existing software assets without reinventing them from scratch is key in any SOA approach. So you can, through SOA, reuse an enormous amount of software assets that your organization has already been investing in the past without having to re-architect your own solution. The same kind of approach, the same kind of concept needs, of course, to be applied to data access. Data access is usually something that is not seen as the primary focus whenever you think about SOA, but be applied squarely to data access needs.
You talk about data access, and you talk about all the different types of applications that organizations have. As an IT organization, if I'm responsible for it, how do I get started in really understanding what some of the technology challenges are going to be that are facing me?
Well, usually, you know, if you're in a typical IT organization, you don't start understanding such technological challenges. You just hit them. You start doing some work, you start trying to solve problems, and suddenly you find out that something that you thought would have worked won't work anymore. So, you know, you will start realizing that data is all over the place. You have a variety of data sources that is much wider than you could imagine. Maybe you have some data that is available in relational databases, some other that is available in some XML databases. And in many cases, the data itself is fragmented. Maybe you have the same kind of data describing the same concept, maybe an employee, and part of the data is available inside your Oracle database, and other pieces of data are available in an LDAP system. And you end up having to put this information together to get a complete view of the information that you're looking for. data access in general is complex. It's you have a variety of programming languages that are used to access data, a variety of APIs. You know, just think about JDBC as the typical interface to get to relational databases. LDAP exposes its own interface. Web services their own interface, and so on and so forth. And let alone what client applications wants to do, each one trying to access data through in different ways. You know, modern AJAX-based applications trying to get to data through web services, more traditional applications going through ODBC layers, and so on and so forth. And if you think about even security in this scenario, that's even an additional nightmare. You know, it's very hard to enforce a consistent data security model when you are trying to face a situation where your data is so much fragmented and spread through different repositories in your application.
So I've got all this data spread. I've got all these data access issues. I've got security issues. How is SOA, how is service-oriented architecture going to help me solve the problem?
Well, we talked briefly earlier about SOA and the benefit that it brings to the picture in terms of loosely coupled systems. If you think a little bit for a moment about web services that are you know, the typical way SOA are implemented these days, web services have the potential to abstract data access to a variety of data sources. So the web services can hide the complexity of data access, providing to clients a logical view of the data the way clients want to think about data, and then you know, isolate all the complexity of data access inside the web service implementation itself, so that the client only needs to know really how to access the service and about the kind of information that the service provides. It doesn't need to have details about where physically data is available, for example. Not only that, when you think about web services, you are automatically abstracting your system from a specific platform or a specific language. You can implement a web service in a particular platform and language, but your clients don't need to be tied to that specific choice. They can be on any other configuration of platform, other platforms and software platforms. And also in terms of connection to the web services, there are standard transfer mechanisms that are used by web services. You know, HTTP is the most widely used. And those allow you to also work in a typically disconnected fashion, and that's key for reaching the idea of working in a loosely coupled solution.
Right. I like what you said before about IT organizations, you know, kind of finding the problems as they go along. In your experience, what are some of the challenges that organizations are facing as they go into SOA environments?
Well, one of the problems I think that exists out there is that in SOA today, data management guidelines are usually very sparse. It's difficult to find someone that is that publishes guidelines that are clear and that help you in dealing with data management in SOA. And in many cases, when they exist, those guidelines have been formulated by SOA experts, not by necessarily by data management experts. Mm-hmm. And you know, data access needs are dangerous if they're not carefully designed. You need to be very, very careful about what it means to design a data access solution. Something that was working yesterday because maybe it was a data access solution that assumed a single client would have accessed that component, today in a SOA world might be hit by a dozen of applications or thousands of applications, or maybe even more than that in the future. So you need to be very careful about what it implies to expose data access solution through SOA. You might get much more traffic on that particular solution that you would expect initially. Right. And SOA itself doesn't solve this problem. In general, SOA gives you the ability, the conceptual possibility to create abstracted, loosely coupled systems, but I know many customers, many users of ours, for example, that ended up designing solar systems that were just re-implementing the same kind of spaghetti architecture just in a web service-based model where they had point-to-point solutions that were, yes, working through HTTP and web service interfaces, but they didn't solve the problem of trying to abstract the physical details of the data access solution and provide logical views. So they ended up with nightmares in terms of managing these kind of solutions. So you need to be very careful. Whenever you think about data access and SOA, I think that you need to be careful about what kind of data service strategy you want to use and leverage.
So that's an interesting point. So it's obviously very complicated. So what are the advantages, I guess, of a client, you know, going to a company like DataDirect and a third party who's got expertise? What are some of the advantages that you guys provide that that they might not get if they decided to go on their own and do it in-house?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, data management guidelines that exist out there in SOA infrastructure have been formulated by SOA experts, not data management experts. In DataDirect, you find data management experts. DataDirect has been dealing with data for years and years, from the ODBC times to JDBC to ADO.NET solutions to XML solutions more recently and data services. So we know what it means to deal with a variety of data sources in a scalable and performant way, which is typically what you want to do if you are creating a complicated system in a realistic IT organization. And you know, on the other hand, also relying on a third-party expert like DataDirect allows IT organization to focus on their core competencies. So they don't need to think in terms of how do I optimize this specific aspect of my data access solution. They can just focus on what exactly do I need to do with this data, how can I make this particular application more useful to my customers rather than focusing on aspects that are more typical of what companies like DataDirect can deal with. And you know, doing that, the IT organization end up saving huge amounts of resources because they don't need to design ad hoc data access solutions. So that's very important.
Right. You mentioned before, like spaghetti solutions. What were some of the things that you see in the marketplace that your customers have dealt with, and you know that you guys have been able to help them resolve?
Oh, well, you know, our customers are all over the map. You can find the simplest cases probably, like customers that need to create reporting solutions, and they start creating reporting solutions maybe based on XML documents, and they use our XQuery solutions and the XML-based solutions, but then they discover that that's not enough. They need also to import information which is stored inside some Oracle or Microsoft SQL Server database or anything like that, or maybe even mainframe systems. And then at that point, they need to start dealing with those solutions. And in typical approaches that I've seen, IT organizations try to create those applications themselves. They start with using XML APIs from the Java application, then they start aggregating data through JDBC APIs, and that becomes a nightmare in terms of maintenance and in improving those kind of solutions in time. Working with our products that are strongly XML-based, they are able to reach a situation in which they don't really need to think about where physically their data is stored. They just need to think in terms of data being available according to the XML data model and then leveraging the XML data model to create solutions. And the same applies to many other scenarios. You know, I mentioned the reporting, but there are also, of course, more B2B-like scenarios where companies have incoming messages, and that these messages can be in XML format in some cases, or maybe some other partner submits messages in EDI format, or even in some proprietary format. And they need to deal with all of these cases because it's very unusual that in B2B scenarios, one company is able to control completely the kind of formats or the kind of infrastructure that other companies that they need to interact with are using. So they need to be able to deal with those kind of information, and then maybe they also need to store some EDI message that is, you know, it's kind of message format that was used in the mid-80s and mid-90s mostly for exchanging B2B information as an alternative to what XML is now, basically. And those kind of EDI messages are completely different from what you could think in terms of XML or other formats, and then they have their own weird syntax, their own peculiarities, and if you start trying to deal with that as an IT organization, that's a huge nightmare in terms of maintenance, also because most EDI organizations are still very active and publishing new versions of their standards every 6 months or every year, so you need to be able to deal with that. So it's as I mentioned, it's all over the map, and typically in the end, the line, the common line that we see is that IT organizations have a need to deal with data. Such data is usually available in different formats, maybe in different data stores, and in many cases it needs to be served back once it has been digested and maybe augmented with some other data. It needs to be rendered back according to some specific industry standard, maybe some specific XML schemas and some XML structure, or maybe even just rendered back as HTML to the user for human consumption.
Yeah, it does sound complicated. So DataDirect, I know, recently introduced the Data Integration Suite, which combines several tightly integrated products. Can you describe the product suite for us and tell us what kind of advantages it offers to your existing and prospective customers?
Sure. Data Integration Suite is a package, basically, that includes our XML product designed for data integration needs. We have basically three main products, I would say. The core is probably DataDirect XQuery, which is an XQuery implementation focused on performance and scalability and focused on integration of multiple data sources. We have spent a lot of efforts in integrating our XQuery implementation with relational databases, for example, and that fits very well in the kind of scenario that I was describing you earlier. And it's an embedded component, so it's something that can be deployed very easily virtually in any infrastructure, so it's not something heavy like a client-server solution or a platform itself. It's a component that can be included either in your application server or even in your standalone application very, very easily. And we also offer out-of-the-box integration of such component with most application servers to provide web services out-of-the-box. So you can implement your XQuery-based data services very easily using our DataDirect XQuery solution. And DataDirect XQuery relies on one component called DataDirect XML converters when it needs to deal with data which is not relational and not XML and not web services. So, for example, when we deal with EDI messages that I was mentioning earlier or other older formats like comma-separated value files or tab-delimited files that are still very popular, even if it's hard to believe. Those kind of messages are translated on the fly to XML and translated back to their native format by the DataDirect XML converters component, which integrates very smoothly with DataDirect XQuery. And finally, all this is exposed through our Status Studio product, which is an award-winning XML visual development environment, you can say. It exposes a variety of XML tools, and it's tightly integrated with DataDirect XQuery and XML converter, so it makes development and testing of XQuery-based solutions very, very easily, also through visual interfaces for transformation and mappings. And it's a product that's been out there in the market for 9 years now, so we have a lot of experience in what kind of problems users want to solve and how to help them solve from an XML point of view.
Okay, now we're kind of reaching the end of our allotted time, so I just wanted to kind of see if we could summarize a little bit. And, you know, our topic today was bringing together data integration and SOA. And, you know, I wonder if there's like one or two pieces of advice that you could give to IT professionals that are looking to bring together data integration and SOA? And, you know, what are kind of like the key points you'd want people to take away from this?
Well, I'm sure that IT professionals are very competent, and they will know about their specific problems much better than I do. You know, I can only comment based on the examples that I see and what I see our customers trying to do. You know, one key point that I would try to make is probably that it is true that SOA is going to help. SOA is your friend, but you need to be careful about how you use SOA and especially how you design data access in SOA contexts. Also, don't underestimate the challenge to create efficient, scalable, performant data services. That's much more difficult than it seems initially. Also, one of the main benefits, I would say, that SOA brings to the table is the possibility to create loosely coupled applications. We need to be able to bring the same kind of concept to the data access side. So your data services need to be able to offer logical views of your data. They need to be able to abstract the physical details of the data so that your clients are somehow isolated from changes in the physical aspects of how your data is made available or stored. And, you know, thinking about XML, XML is a great way to offer logical views. It's a great way to hide the complexity of data stored in multiple data sources through web services, for example. But again, you need to be very careful about how you deal with XML, because performance and scalability are key, again, when you deal with data access. And doing something in XML that prevents performance and scalability in your system is relatively easy. So you need to be very careful about what kind of solutions you choose and what kind of designs you implement.
Right. That's great advice. We are at the end of our podcast. On behalf of TechTarget and DataDirect Technologies, Manolo, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Okay, and thank you to our audience. My name is Al Perlman. Have a great day, and we hope you'll join us for future TechTarget podcasts.